بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. In the name of Allah, the Most Beneficent, the Most Merciful, I testify that there is no true God worthy of worship except Allah, and that Muhammad is Allah's true slave and messenger. We continue the explanation on the three fundamental principles of Islam, and the author, rahimahullah, mentioned the first fundamental principle, and that was discussed in the previous class. He said, rahimahullah, about the first principle, أن الله خلقنا, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us, and ورزقنا, then he subhanahu wa ta'ala provided sustenance for us, ولم يتركنا هملا, and he subhanahu wa ta'ala did not leave us aimless without a purpose, and that rather that أرسل إلينا رسولا, he sent a messenger to us, فمن أطاعه دخل الجنة ومن عصاه دخل النار, and whoever obeys the messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم will be admitted to paradise, and whoever disobeys and rejects him will enter the fire of hell. This is the first one. And then he gave the evidences, and all of that was discussed in the previous class. Now he moved to the second fundamental principle, and that is أن الله لا يرضى أن يشرك معه أحد في عبادته لا ملك مقرب ولا نبي مرسل, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not pleased that anyone should be made a sharer in worship along with him subhanahu wa ta'ala. Neither an angel brought near, nor any prophet sent as a messenger. This is the second fundamental principle, and this is in reference to Tawheed al-Uluhiyya. This is related to Tawheed al-Uluhiyya, meaning singling Allah alone in worship. This means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it binding upon the legally responsible that they should single Allah alone in worship, because He is the one who deserves to be worshipped alone, and because He subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Most High, the one free of all imperfection, is Al-Khaliq Al-Raziq, the Creator, the Provider. لَهُ الْمُلْكُ, to Him belongs the Kingdom, and to Him belongs Al-Amr, to Him belongs the command. So He is not pleased, subhanahu wa ta'ala, that others be shared, or for others to ascribe, for individuals to ascribe partners to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in worship, or to assign worship to anyone other than Him subhanahu wa ta'ala, irrespective of this state or status of this individual, or his highness, or his nobility, or whatsoever. And neither an angel brought near, nor any prophet sent as a messenger. And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not accept and is not pleased that anyone should be made a sharer in worship along with Him, from those that, like the angels or the messengers, and they are close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and He chose them, then by all means, others from the creation are by all means, it is prohibited to set them as rivals or as objects of worship, besides or to the exclusion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because worship can only be offered to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and directing it to other than Allah is injustice. قال الله تعالى إن الشرك لظلم عظيم, as in Surah Luqman 31 verse 13, إن الشرك لظلم عظيم, verily shirk, ascribing partners to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is a great wrong, and this is definitely a great injustice. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not pleased for his slaves to be on kufr. Rather, he is pleased for them to be on Islam. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in Surah Al-Ma'idah chapter 5 verse 3, وَرَضِيتُ لَكُمُ الْإِسْلَامَ دِينًا. I am pleased to have Islam for you as deen, as your deen. As in Surah Al-Ma'idah chapter 5 verse 3. Then the author rahimahullah ta'ala mentioned the evidence for this matter, mentioned the evidence for this fundamental principle. And the evidence he cited is in Surah Al-Jinn, verse 18. Surah Al-Jinn, verse 18. And this is 72, verse 18. Allah Ta'ala, وَأَنَّ الْمَسَاجِدَ لِلَّهِ فَلَا تَدْعُوا مَعَ اللَّهِ أَحَدًا. And the mosques are only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the mosques are only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the places of worship are for Allah alone. So don't invoke anyone along with Allah. So don't invoke anyone along with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the evidence. Every place set for worship and for prayers and for the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is the mosque. And the evidence also for this meaning is in the story of the Bedouin, the Al-Arabi, the Bedouin, when he urinated in the in the mosque, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him, admonished him, إِنَّ هَذَا الْمَسْجِدْ, this masjid, لَا يَصْلُحُ لِشَيْءٍ مِنْ ذَلِكَ, it's not fit for things like that. إِنَّمَا بُنِيَ, rather it is established, لِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى وَلِلصَّلَاةِ, established for the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and for making salah. This is the these are the tasks of the masajid. And Allah added the masajid to His name when He said, وَأَنَّ الْمَسَاجِدَ لِلَّهِ, وَأَنَّ الْمَسَاجِدَ لِلَّهِ, and the places of worship are for Allah. وَأَنَّ الْمَسَاجِدَ لِلَّهِ, He added it an addition of honor and particularization. Meaning, if you enter the masajid for worship, then invoke none besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with that. Because these are biyutullah, the houses of Allah. So how do you enter His house and yet you invoke others with Him in worship? And in the saying of Allah, فَلَا تَدْعُ مَعَ اللَّهِ أَحَدًا, don't invoke anyone. This is a generalization. Absolutely no one. Neither an angel close nor a prophet sent as a messenger. And therefore, others who are lower in rank than this, by all means, it is forbidden to call them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it should be made known that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not forbid anything except that He is not pleased with. Allah forbid that a person should invoke anyone along with Allah, with Him. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not forbid anything except that it is something which He subhanahu wa ta'ala is not pleased with. Qala Allah ta'ala in Surah Az-Zumar, in chapter 39 verse 7, إِن تَكْفُرُوا فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غَنِيٌّ عَنْكُمْ وَلَا يَرْضَى لِعِبَادِهِ الْكُفْرِ وَإِن تَشْكُرُوا يَرْضَهُ لَكُمْ. If you disbelieve, then Allah is not in any need of you. And He is not pleased with disbelief for His slaves. And if you are thankful, believing in Allah and being obedient to Him, then He is pleased with that for you. Or He is pleased therewith for you. Also in Surah At-Tawbah in chapter 9:96, قَالَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى فَإِن تَرْضَوْ عَنْهُمْ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَرْضَى عَنِ الْقَوْمِ الْفَاسِقِينَ. But if you are pleased with them, إِن تَرْضَوْ عَنْهُمْ, if you are pleased with them, then Certainly Allah is not pleased with the people who are fasiqeen. Those who rebel against obedience to Allah and His Messenger. So Allah is not pleased with kufr, with unbelief. And direction of worship to any besides Him, and this is shirk, He is not pleased with that. In fact, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the messengers, and brought down the revelation, the books, in order that war to be raged upon kufr and shirk, and so that they should be annihilated. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, for the objective of jihad, as in Surah Al-Anfal 8:39, this is the most noble objective. وَقَاتِلُوهُمْ حَتَّى لَا تَكُونَ فِتْنَةً وَيَكُونَ الدِّينُ كُلُّهُ لِلَّهِ. So fight them until there remains no shirk, no fitna, means no worship of anything besides Allah, and that the religion will be for Allah alone. Meaning religion, what is religion? It means obedience and worship to be only purely for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, the believer loves what Allah loves. The believer is pleased with what Allah is pleased with. And the believer hates what Allah hates. Allah is not pleased with kufr and shirk. So therefore it's obligatory that the believer is also not pleased with them. And this is because the believers, loving and hating, must conform to what Allah loves and hates. So the believer is angry with that which angers Allah. And the believer is pleased with that which pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we know that Allah is not pleased with kufr and shirk. So, in this case, it's not fitting that the Muslim should be pleased with them. In fact, shirk is the matter which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala specified as very serious and dangerous in His statement in Surah An-Nisa 4:48. قال الله تعالى إن الله لا يغفر أن يشرك به ويغفر ما دون ذلك لمن يشاء. Indeed Allah does not forgive associating anything in worship with Him, but He forgives whatever is lesser than ascribing partners to Him in worship, which is shirk, to whomever He pleases. And anyone who dies ascribing partners to Allah in worship, then paradise is forbidden for him, and hell will be his abode. Allah states this very clearly in Surah Al-Ma'idah, chapter 5, verse 72. إِنَّهُ مَنْ يُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ فَقَدْ حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ الْجَنَّةِ وَمَأْوَاهُ النَّارِ وَمَا لِلظَّالِمِينَ مِنْ أَنصَارِ. Indeed, whoever associates anything in worship with Allah, then Allah has forbidden paradise for him, and his abode will be the fire. And for the wrongdoers who worship others besides Allah, there is none to aid and save them on the day of resurrection. This is in Surah Al-Ma'idah, chapter 5, verse 72. And the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said in the authentic hadith, reported by Muslim, he said, مَنْ لَقِيَ اللَّهَ لَا يُشْرِكْ بِهِ شَيْئًا دَخَلَ الْجَنَّةِ وَمَنْ لَقِيَهُ يُشْرِكُ بِهِ شَيْئًا دَخَلَ النَّارِ. Whoever meets Allah, not worshipping anything along with him, will enter paradise. And whoever meets him, having worshipped others along with him, will enter the fire. We seek refuge in Allah from this. So this is the second fundamental principle. The third fundamental principle, which the Shaykh rahimahullah mentioned, is that من أطاع الرسول ووحد الله لا يجوز له موالاة من حاد الله ورسوله ولو كان أقرب قريب. Then he brought the evidence. The third matter, which is obligatory and binding for every Muslim to know, is that al-wala, alliance and disassociation, which means al-wala wal-bara, alliance and disassociation, alliance with the believers who are obedient to Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and enmity and disassociation from the kafirs and those opposing Allah and His Messenger. This matter is that whoever obeys the Messenger in that which he commands, and he keeps away and avoids what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forbade, and singles Allah alone as the true God worthy of worship, then this is the Islamic creed. Then this constitutes the Islamic creed. And from the fundamental basis of this creed is that the believer gives allegiance to its people, and that the believer will have enmity and disassociation from the people of shirk. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said concerning Ibrahim and those who believed with him in Surah Al-Mumtahina, verse 4, which is chapter 60, verse 4. قال الله تعالى قد كانت لكم أسوة حسنة في إبراهيم والذين معه إذ قالوا لقومهم إنا براء منكم ومما تعبدون من دون الله كفرنا بكم وبدا وبيننا وبينكم العداوة والبغضاء أبدا حتى تؤمنوا بالله وحده. Indeed, there has been an excellent example for you in Ibrahim and those with him, when they said to their people, verily we are free from you and whatever you worship besides Allah. We are free from you and whatever you worship besides Allah. You have rejected, we have rejected you, and there has started between us and you, meaning enmity and hatred has arisen between us forever until you believe in Allah and worship Him alone. Abdullah bin Mas'ud, may Allah be pleased with him, said that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أَوْثَقُ عُرَى الْإِيمَانِ الْحُبُّ فِي اللَّهِ وَالْبُغْضُ فِي اللَّهِ. The strongest bondage of faith is loving for Allah and hating for Allah. This love and this hate is necessitated or entailed by the deen of Ibrahim alayhi salam, and it is also entailed by the deen of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the final and last messenger. And the evidence, the second evidence on this, is what the author rahimahullah cited in Surah Al-Mujadila, 58:22. قال الله تعالى لا تجد قوما يؤمنون بالله واليوم الآخر يوادون من حاد الله ورسوله. You will not find a people who believe in Allah and believe in the last day making friendship or loving those who oppose Allah and His Messenger, even if they are their fathers, or their sons, or their brothers, or their kinsfolk. Rather, Allah has decreed the true faith for their hearts, and strengthened them with proof, light, and guidance from Him, and He will enter them into gardens of paradise beneath whose trees rivers will flow, and they will dwell therein forever. Allah is pleased with them, and they with Him. They are the party of Allah. Indeed, the party of Allah are the successful. So, even if these people would be the closest of kin, the son, the daughter, the father, the mother, the root and the offspring, or the brothers, or the rest of kins. So, your brother on the creed is your brother, and your enemy is your enemy in the creed. Your true brother is the one who is your brother on the creed, even if he lives in the farthest most place on earth. And your enemy is the enemy on the creed, even if he the closest of kin. Because there is no consideration in this matter on the scale of Islam except on the creed. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asserted this matter and set parables by giving even some forms of relations in this verse. And that's why Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah said that Allah mentioned in this verse that you will not find any people who really truly believe in Allah, having love for those who oppose Allah and His Messenger. Because faith in itself negates love, giving love to other than the believers. And when faith is established, then its opposite is not established, meaning giving allegiance to the enemies of Allah. So if you find a person, he said, who gives allegiance to the enemies of Allah by his heart, this is evidence then that his heart, that the obligated faith, is not present in his heart. Al-Iman al-Wajib, the obligated faith, is not present in his heart. Because having friendship and alliance with and seeking to please one who opposes Allah is a proof that the belief in Allah and His Messenger in his heart is indeed weak. This is the saying of our Shaykh rahimahullah, Muhammad bin Salih al-Uthaymeen. He said this is because it is against reason that a person can have love for anything that is an enemy of the one he truly loves. He then added that alliance with the unbelievers means to help and assist them in the unbelief and misguidance which they are upon. And having love for them is shown by doing those things which will earn their love and friendship by any means. He said, without doubt, this type of love shows that the true belief, Iman, is either totally absent or is at least deficient. Rather, the believer must be in a state of enmity with those who oppose Allah and His Messenger, even if the person is the closest of relations to him. He must have hatred for him and separate from him, but this does not prevent him from sincerely advising him and calling him to the truth. And in fact, also this does not prevent him from dealing with him justly, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded. From the matters of giving help and aid to the non-believers. This matter falls under different categories. The first, standing by them and helping them to prevail over the Muslims, and having love of their creed of kufr and shirk and misguidance. Then this type, there is no doubt that this type is major kufr, takes the person out of fold of Islam. So whoever gives them aid and help them over the Muslims, loving their deen and being pleased with their deen and willingly doing so, not forced or compelled to do so, then he becomes a kafir, commits major kufr. The second category, that he gives them help or helps them over the Muslims, but forced on that, not by choice. For example, because staying in their lands, then this person is under a severe threat, and it is feared for him that he may fall in kufr, which may take him out of the fold of Islam. Although he may not love the kufr and its people, and such people are called to emigrate and make hijrah to the land of Islam, especially when they are able to, except for the weak ones, from the men and women and the children, who cannot perform such hijrah under certain circumstances. In this case, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not burden a soul more than it can bear. Third category is the one who gives aid or helps the kafirs over the Muslims by choice, not under compulsion or not forced to do so, yet he hates their deen and is not pleased with it. There is no doubt that this constitutes major sin, and it is feared that he may end up committing kufr. Fourth category, giving help to kafirs over kafirs, over other kafirs who may have a covenant with the Muslims. This is forbidden, because this is breaching the covenant with them. So the kafirs who have a covenant with the Muslims, it is forbidden to fight them, honoring the covenant with them. And helping others from the kafir over them is also forbidden, because this will constitute a breaching of the covenant. And whoever kills one who is mu'ahad under the covenant, then he will not smell the fragrance of paradise, as the Prophet ﷺ said. And if it is known that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forbade the Muslims to give aid to Muslims over kafirs in case the kafirs had a covenant with the Muslims, then how about giving aid to the kafir while breaching the covenant? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forbade that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stated in Surah Al-Anfal in 8:72, وَإِنْ اسْتَنْصَرُوكُمْ فِي الدِّينِ فَعَلَيْكُمُ النَّصْرُ إِلَّا عَلَى قَوْمٍ بَيْنَكُمْ وَبَيْنَهُمْ مِيثَاقٌ. وإن استنصروكم في الدين فعليكم النصر إلا على قوم بينكم وبينهم ميثاق. So here it is your duty to help them except against a people with whom you have a treaty or a mutual alliance. So if they seek your help in religion, it is your duty to help them except against a people with whom you have a treaty or a mutual alliance. And Allah is all seer of what you do. So if Muslims ask Muslims to help them over kafirs, then they should go for their help except in this condition: if the kafirs have a treaty or a mutual treaty with the Muslims. The fifth matter which we talked about is having love of the kafirs and without giving aid to them over Muslims. This is forbidden, and the state of the person doing this, as our Shaykh rahimahullah mentioned, he said that without doubt this shows that the true belief is either totally absent or is at least deficient. These are some of the, or these are any of the main categories under this subject of giving help and aid to the those who oppose Allah and His Messenger, and all those who love those who oppose Allah and His Messenger. والله تعالى أعلى وأعلم وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. So it's at the end I want to emphasize that giving allegiance to the kafirs or helping them, as you can see, requires details before anyone can come to the conclusion that the person doing this is automatically a kafir, because this state may be either a state of practical kufr, which does not take the person out of the fold of Islam, or it could be major kufr, which takes him out of the fold of Islam, depending on the conditions and categories. And in four, this is a lesson for all of us, not to rush into conclusions of kufr automatically on people, whether they are individuals or rulers or as such, who may fall into this matter. Wallahu ta'ala a'la wa a'lam, وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.